Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. They said it took 73 years, for over 70 years, to find the Titanic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they said. I'm going to look that up, but...
Yeah.
Because they were talking about that Malaysia flight, that they're about to start looking for that again because they feel like they might have found something or something like that. We'll do some more research. But yeah, they said it took them over 70 years to find the Titanic. I was like, so maybe it's not that far-fetched because everyone, when the Malaysia thing just went, just poof, everyone was like...
Aliens.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or whatever. Like, where is it at? There's some, like, weird shit going on or whatever. Like, how can something, like, you know what I mean? Like, how is there no sight of it? How can anyone find it? And then when I heard it took them 73 years to find the Titanic, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it takes a while.
I mean, the ocean is a big space.
And it's very unforgiving.
You know, and with currents.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Stuff could have got pushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other areas or whatever.
Yeah.
Facebook sale shooting. That's nothing new. Yeah, but so when I heard that, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not so far-fetched then. Because everyone was like, where's the Malaysia plane? Where's the Malaysia plane? So just maybe it takes a long time to find things. Maybe, you know, there's no conspiracy...
Right.
Behind it, because everyone was like, oh, this, or this, or that.
Well, that was like a huge story, wasn't it?
Huge story, yeah. So I guess they're about to start re-looking for it again. So that'll be pretty interesting, though. Let's see what else is going on out here in the world.
Speaking of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
I read this article. There was like a triathlon or some swimming thing
mm-hmm.
in Monterey, California, and this group was swimming, and this swimmer went missing, and then like with the people, like all of a sudden they didn't see her,
mm-hmm.
And then somebody saw like a shark like come out of the water with a body.
Really?
Yeah, they ended up recovering her body.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
They identified her by her clothing.
Mm-hmm. Black people aren't poor because we don't work. We're poor because we don't own the systems our labor supports. Mm-hmm. So I got some stats, some information I'm going to read to y'all. Sorry if you heard my stomach growling. So here's an honest database look at all the kinds of jobs Black Americans are actually working in on average, especially compared to the broader U.S. workforce, and why workforce patterns reflect deeper structural inequalities. Because I was wondering, like, where are Black people working? Because I'm not saying Black people don't own stuff. I'm saying, but like for the most part, we don't own these top big companies, you know what I mean? We don't own the hospitals and the law firms and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all this stuff. So it's just like, what are we doing? You know, because we don't just play sports. You know, we do other things, but it's like what kind of jobs are the majority of Black people doing? If we don't own a company, if we don't, you know what I mean? It's like, what are we actually doing? So, Black workers in the U.S. labor force. So, Black people make up about 12 to 13% of the U.S. workforce. my point, the whole point of this is to prove that white people dominate and control everything, unfortunately. You know what I mean? So when they tell us to pull up our bootstraps and all that kind of shit, like, sometimes that's unrealistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, black people make up about 12 to 13% of the U.S. workforce, yet they are underrepresented in many high-paying professional and managerial jobs and overrepresented in certain service and frontline roles. This doesn't mean black people aren't capable or don't want higher paying jobs. It reflects ongoing inequity in access, opportunity, education pipelines, hiring networks, and structural bias. So number two, jobs where black workers are most concentrated. So according to the labor force data and research patterns, higher shares of black workers are in service occupations. Example would be like home health aides, nursing assistants, amongst the largest categories of black employment. Operators, fabricators, and laborers, which is like transportation, material moving, stuff like that. Administrative support / clerical roles. And if anyone wants to look any of this up there, you can go to the afra.us. Afra.us, like short for African and then .us, if you want to go check them numbers out. So in detailed job categories, black workers are especially overrepresented in nursing assistants, which is about 36%, transit and bus drivers, which is about 36%, security guards at 35%, and home health aides at 32%. Oh, another job that some of us black and brown people I didn't say a lot, but a good number of black people do. They take, like, them correction jobs. Mm-hmm. And them jail jobs and shit, like them COs. Not out in the prisons. Oh. You know, you can count on one hand the amount of black prison guards that I seen when I was doing my prison time. And I've been to Fox Lake, Waupun, Dodge, RCI, Red Granite, Oregon, where else have I been? Oh, Jackson, St. Croix Correctional. So, you know, so the ones, the further you go up north, the less amount of black guards you're going to see. You barely see any Mexican. I don't think let me think real quick. The amount of Mexican or Latin COs I've seen, whether it's like jail deputies or corrections officers in prison, man, you can count them on one hand, the amount of Latin people. It's probably more now, but black guards, yeah, you don't see them. You're only going to see black COs at MSDF here downtown, which is actually a prison. People think MSDF is a jail. It's a prison. So you're going to see black guards working there. You'll see black guards working at the county, Milwaukee County Jail. You'll see black guards working at Racine Correctional. You'll see them working at, like, the Racine Youth facilities they have out there. Stuff, you know, the ones down here more, near closest to the city. But, like, there were no black guards at Fox Lake. Every once in a while, you'll see a black chaplain that work in these prisons. It doesn't matter where, like, you're not going to see a black chaplain at, like, Red Granite, but, like, you will see a black chaplain here and there. But the corrections officers, you're not going to see black COs. Because, for one thing, they're not really living out there. Or if you do see a black corrections officer at, like, Kettle Moraine or Fox Lake, it might be one or two. Mm. And that's it. You know what I mean? You're literally going to be able to only, you're only going to need one hand. So it's a majority of white corrections officers out there. But I'm saying, but we do, like in the cities, black people do take those jobs. County jail deputy, you know what I mean? CO at RCI, it's a lot of black guards at Racine Correctional Institution. So we do those jobs too, which I would never do a job like that because I wouldn't want to be locking up and telling people that look like me. You know, I wouldn't want to be in that type of environment to where I got to control and tell people like that look like me what to do and all that. And I'm just, yeah, that's, So we do nursing assistants, like I said, transit and bus drivers, security guards, home health aides. So the percentages show share of all workers in those roles who are black, not percent of black workforce in those jobs. And that's from the Pew Research. Some historical and regional patterns show very high representation in specific roles like postal service jobs. Example, black employees made up 29% of the U.S. Postal Service workforce, even though they are 12% of the overall labor force. That's from The Guardian, if you want to check that out. Jobs where black workers are underrepresented. Black workers are much less represented in many higher paying, high growth, and prestigious professions, including many STEM fields, example, engineers, tech developers, computer, math, and technology jobs. We are a lower share of the workforce. Management, business, and financial roles. We are a smaller share compared to white and Asian workers. That's from the Bureau of Labor. Legal, scientific, and many professional occupations also have lower black representation. That's from the National Equity Association, if you want to go check that out. So, for example, black workers were significantly underrepresented relative to their share of the population in occupations like software developers, mechanical and electrical engineers, certain medical specialties, corporate managers and executives. So these are higher paying fields with barriers like access to elite education and networks. I'll just read this last one and then, my stomach. Wage and income differences. Because black workers are more likely to be in service, labor, and entry level roles, and less likely in high paid professionally / technical jobs, median earnings overall are lower for black workers compared with the U.S. workforce average. For example, black full-time workers have historically earned less per week than the overall U.S. average. Why these patterns exist? The job distribution isn't random. It reflects structural factors including systemic barriers, education access gaps in STEM and professional pipelines, bias and discrimination in hiring and promotion, networks and opportunity gaps in corporate leadership and high-wage sectors. Research shows black workers face barriers even when comparable education to white workers. So you can have the same education as a white person, and they're still going to get, more than likely get that opportunity. Here's a rough idea of where black workers are most often employed compared to the broader workforce. So occupation sector, service and care work, health aides, assistants. So relative black representation is higher than average. Operators and transportation roles, higher than average. Administrative / office support, significant share. Retail and customer service, we are at moderate representation. Professional, technical, STEM, finance, and legal, we are underrepresented. Corporate executives and senior managers, we are underrepresented. Black workers are present in all job categories, but higher shares appear in service, labor, and administrative roles compared with many professional / technical sectors. So what's the big picture? So when people say black Americans aren't owners of companies, part of the picture is that black workers are more likely to be in jobs that require less wealth, education, or access to capital because of historical / structural inequality. Black workers are not inherently less capable. They are structurally less likely to be in roles with access to generational wealth, building ownership, executive leadership, high tech, and finance. And many black professionals do work in professional careers. They're just still not proportionally represented in the highest paid and highest status roles due to systemic barriers. So basically, that's what I was just trying to prove, is like that white people dominate and run and control for the most part, the nine major areas of activity that we talk about. And those are land and real estate, finance and banking, industry / manufacturing, energy and natural resources, transportation and infrastructure, commerce / retail, technology, media / entertainment, and government contracting and defense. Ownership here doesn't mean just jobs, it means equity, control, profit, and policy influence. So, just read this last stuff right here. This is pretty interesting. So this is ownership by area. So this is by race, like who dominates and owns and runs the majority of these areas. So land and real estate. So the majority owner of land and real estate throughout this country is white Americans. Roughly 75 to 80% of U.S. land and real estate value is white owned. Black Americans own about 1 to 2% of rural land and a small share of large-scale commercial property. Home ownership rates. White is at 73%, while black is only at 45%. This directly affects wealth, school funding, and political power. Number two, finance and banking. Majority owner and controller of finance and banking throughout the country, white Americans. They own the majority of major banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, CTF, are founded by white elites, led largely by white executives, owned primarily by institutional investors, controlled by white leadership. Black-owned banks exist, but they control less than 1% of total U.S. banking assets. Access to capital equals access to ownership elsewhere. I think we only have like maybe like one black bank or something in Milwaukee or
something like that.
I think we only have like one black owned gas station in Milwaukee. Like, yeah, it's number three, industry / manufacturing. The majority owner in the industry and manufacturing throughout the country, white Americans. Large manufacturers like Boeing, GM, Ford, Caterpillar, 3M, Milwaukee Tool, etc. They're publicly traded, controlled via institutional capital, and historically white-founded and white-led. Black ownership of large manufacturing firms is extremely rare. Black workers are more often labor than owners. Energy and natural resources. The majority owner of energy and natural resources, white Americans. And keep in mind, a lot of them are Jewish people too. Because when they say white, that means, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because that just means your skin. Then you got to go into like, what actually are you? You know, are you Irish? Are you German? Are you, you know, all that stuff. Energy and natural resources, majority owner, white American. They own majority of the oil, gas, utilities, mining, renewables, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Duke Energy, NextEra, etc. Land leases, mineral rights, and energy infrastructure are overwhelmingly white controlled and owned. Indigenous and black communities are more likely to live near extraction, not profit from it. Number five, transportation and infrastructure. Majority owner, white Americans. They control the railroads, the airlines, the shipping logistics. So like FedEx, UPS, Union Pacific, Delta, etc. Amazon. Infrastructure contracts. They got the highways, the ports, the airports. Those go mostly to large white-owned firms. Black ownership exists mainly at small subcontractor levels, not prime contractors. Number six, commerce and retail. Majority owner, white Americans. They own the Walmarts, the Amazons, the Costcos, the Targets, the Home Depots, the Krogers. Those are white-founded, white-led, institutionally owned. Black-owned retail businesses are mostly small, local, and undercapitalized. Money flows out of black communities more than it circulates within. You know, yeah, that's because, like, you know, a lot of the money that we have as black and brown people, we work and, like, we kind of just refunnel it back into the system because we're, you know, we're buying gas, we're going to the grocery store, we're paying bills, we're doing, you know what I mean? You're constantly spending the money that you make. Money flow, yeah, money flows out of black communities more than it circulates within. Technology, majority owner, white Americans, with some Asian Americans significant, but still secondary. So big tech, so yep, the majority, you know, white Americans, they say there's a little bit of Asian influence in there, but it's mainly white. So they own the big tech, the Apples, the Googles, the Metas, the Microsofts, the Amazons. Y'all know who all run those. Those are white men. Just think about them in your head. When you hear Apple, who owns that? White man. Google, white man. Meta, white man. Microsoft, white man. Amazon, white man. Founder control or early equity overwhelmingly white or Asian. Black founders receive, wow, only 2% of venture capital funding. Black ownership at scale is nearly non-existent. Tech shapes the future, and black people are users, not owners. Number 8. We just got one more after this. Media and entertainment. Now, we know Jewish people own a lot of the music and entertainment stuff. Major media conglomerates. Disney, Comcast, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Paramount, Fox. Some white person owns all those.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
You listed all out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you really, like, take time and just really list and name everything, yep, and get a clear picture, you see who's running and controlling everything. Black creators are visible on screen, but ownership, no. So the white people own the studios, the distribution, intellectual property. Yep, the studios, distribution, intellectual property is largely white controlled. Representation equals ownership. And then number 9, government contracting and defense. Majority owner, you guessed it, the whites. Defense and federal contracting giants. They own Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, or whatever it is. Black-owned firms receive less than 2% of federal contract dollars despite federal diversity programs.
Not anymore.
Right. Largest, most profitable contracts go to legacy white firms. So what's the overall reality?
Across all 9 areas, white Americans dominate ownership, equity, and control. Asian Americans have significant presence in tech and medicine, but still trail white ownership overall. Black Americans are heavily present as workers, severely underrepresented as owners, especially absent in capital-intensive sectors. It's a result of slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, mass incarceration, exclusion from capital, land, and policy power, and wealth compounding for owners, not workers. That's just it's not crazy. Like, it's messed up when you, like, see it in print, you know?
You're like, how can one race of people dominate that much stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The
and
great
it's...
Neely Fuller Jr. I should play that clip. He says it better than I can, the 9 major areas of activity. Like, how they do. They run and control. It's not us being like, we're just pointing out, like, look, they
right.
run everything. That's why I was just like, well, like, what are we doing as black and brown people? Like, I know what I'm saying, but, like,
yeah.
Just doing the jobby jobs, or we're only going to get
so far, yeah.
You're only going to get so high. Like, for the most part, as black and brown people, even if you got a really good position, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be at least about 2 people above you that you're going to have to go ask.
Right.
Get confirmation, make sure you can check in with them. It's going to be at least about 2 people above you that you're going to have to go check in with.
Right.
Your power's only going to
go so far.
And now that they've basically outlawed diversity, equity, and inclusion,
right, they're stripping that down.
Now it's going to be even worse.
They're stripping us naked.
Yeah. It's just like, you would think in almost 2026,
it's so blatant.
Things would be different.
Right. You would think.
But they're no different than they were 50 years ago.
And then that's when us as black and brown people, and like I like to call the good white people that, you know what I'm saying, are on our side. When we question all this stuff, or we point it out and we're like, look, this is what's actually going on. Look, this is like, there's this bullshit resistance still. It's from the smaller, we always have to say that, it's from the smaller, but like, I think some people that voted for Trump and they know they fucked up, their ego and pride is getting in the way for them just to admit that they made the wrong choice.
Right.
It's a lot of that goes into it, where just people as human beings, it's like tough for people to admit they made the wrong choice or they fucked up. Not even just with politics, just with just regular stuff. Like, we'll know we're wrong about some shit. Or we'll figure it out later, like, damn, I was wrong. Or that was my... But, like, for some reason, we can't... Not all of us, but a lot of us. We just can't get ourselves to be like, yep, I was wrong. I made the wrong choice.
It's hard
or,
for people...
yeah, you're right. You were right about that. Like, what...
It's hard for people to admit that.
That's one of the toughest things to do. It really is. It really is.
It's hard for people to say, like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah. It's tough for people to have that come out their mouth.
Yeah. Accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's just like...
It'd be the smallest shit.
I made a wrong turn, or, you know, like, or, like, I put something in the wrong place, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's hard to even just... admit that, like,
we all do it.
I do it too. Yeah, it's just, it's hard. I think because, like, people, I always say you're your worst critic.
Oh, no doubt about
right?
it. Yeah.
So you're harder on yourself than anyone else is going to be, unless you're a narcissist.
Right.
But, so even just admitting something simple that you erred is admitting that you did something, you know, like that you didn't do it correctly, you know. So it's not that you just don't want to admit you're wrong. I think it's more like if you admit you're wrong, you disappoint yourself in a way.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You went deep with that. That makes sense, though.
I did a deep mental dive on that.
That makes sense, though. I could see, like, a person.
Yeah.
Oh, see? They're talking about the lead here in Milwaukee.
Poisoning, and now they're gone.
Hold on, I'm going to rewind this.
Something that could be a game changer for people living with pain. For the first time in more than 25...
I'm going to rewind this story. The lead stuff here, you know, the lead in the water here in Milwaukee is fucked up. And it's been like that for a long ass time. You know what I mean? And but Trump and them, you know what I mean? They won't send money down here to help. Cause we got lead all in the schools and shit like that and stuff, man. And Trump won't send the money down here to help fix that bullshit. And they're talking about it on CNN. Sanjay Gupta came here to Milwaukee and stuff and did a story on it.
The problem we found when traveling there is that most of the school buildings were built before...
Here we go, y'all. Bear with me.
It was mid-kissing. We still want to survive.
In Milwaukee, one kid was found to have really elevated blood lead levels, and that sparked this whole public health investigation.
And that investigation led them to Milwaukee's public schools. and several other children who had elevated blood lead levels. For the first time, they were able to link lead poisoning in children to the city's aging schools. The problem we found when traveling there is that most of the school buildings were built before 1978. That's before lead paint was banned. And to further complicate the city's efforts to handle this crisis, those cuts I was just talking about, that left the city without federal support.
Investigation into the potential chronic exposures of students at the districts is a part that we were really looking to the CDC to help us with. And unfortunately, HHS had laid off that entire team for childhood lead exposure. These are the best and brightest minds in these areas around lead poisoning, and now they're
gone. Dr. Michael Totoros. I messed his name up, my bad. But yeah, that's because Trump and them took that money and shit. Because you remember Biden had allocated like millions of dollars to help fix like 6th Street up. Y'all can go do the research. It was to fix like some of the roads up and to get for the lead in the water and to fix the lead laterals and all that other type of shit. And Trump took that money back too. I'm almost certain he did. You know, and then started firing people and stuff too. You know, so a lot of these jobs that they took and that they're firing people, you know, a lot of these people would be experts and stuff. They'll be having knowledge on stuff like, you know what I mean? But when you're firing these people, you have no one in these positions. Because these are the people that you need to go to and be like, hey, what do we need to do here? What's your, you know, advice on this or this? They'll be the experts on that shit. But Trump and the bitch ass were firing people. All right, y'all. But yeah, when you break it down like that, it's more clear. So next time you're just sitting there wondering and being like, well, why aren't black people doing this and why aren't they doing that? It's not, you think that black people and brown people don't want to own companies and own shit and like all, you don't think we don't want to do that? Oh, a lot of times we don't have the opportunity. You know what I wish too? Oh, side note real quick. I don't even know if this makes sense, but I think it kind of does. You know one reason that black and brown people have trouble or can have trouble like becoming homeowners or even just getting a home to begin with? You know what I mean? A lot of times we end up being apartment renters and stuff like that because of, I feel like a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but I feel like a lot of times it'd be because we can't, it'd be the down payment that you got to put down on a house might be too much. Because just think, you might be somebody black or brown, you might want to own a home, right? I think the majority of people, if you ask them, would you rather like live in a home or an apartment, most people are going to say a home, right? Most. But like between a down payment and stuff like that, you may not be able to afford, a good amount of us may not be able to afford the down payment that you have to put down. Now, I've never bought a home, so I don't know exactly how all that works. But I'm assuming if you want to buy, let's say, a house that costs, say, $200,000, I would imagine you got to put a pretty decent chunk down for a down payment. You know what I mean? And you may not be able to have that. You may not have that. Because this thing about it, a lot of us don't have the extra money to buy a second car. Like if our car goes down or gets fucked up or messed up, a lot of us as black and brown people, I didn't say all, I said a lot of us don't have the extra $6,000 or $7,000 to go just get like a little used car or something just to have. Or we don't, you know what I mean? We don't have a backup. Because we don't have the extra money. Like all that shit's got to go towards bills. You know what I mean? So let's say you got to put down if you don't even have the $6,000-$8,000 to get yourself like a second vehicle or something, if something happens to the one you have, how do you think you're going to afford a down payment on a home if you're trying to buy a home? You know what I mean? Because I would imagine like there's this, like I said, I don't know how all those numbers and averages go out, but I would imagine, let's say you're trying to buy a home that costs, say, $160,000. Or let's say it's $200,000. I would imagine there's a certain percentage, like for the down payment you got to put down. Let's say they want $10,000 down payment. You don't have that. Now, you could maybe go try to take out a loan to get it, but there again, right there, that's one of the areas of that we're talking about. White people dominating on those. So you as a black and brown person, you're going to have to go and fill out a loan and ask, more than likely, some white adult male or some white adult female for that loan. You're going to have to go to them. You see what I'm saying? And there's a good chance you're going to get turned down. Based off, you may not make enough, like whatever the reasons are. You may qualify for 10. There might be 15 things you need to do to qualify for a loan or whatever, where you might qualify on 14, but the 15th thing you don't, and boom, your loan is denied. But you see what I'm saying? Whereas like white people, they want to go buy a home. The majority, I didn't say all, but the majority of the time, they're going to have more income. They're going to be, they want to go, they go looking at a $200,000 home. Let's say, and I don't know the numbers, but let's say you need to put down a $12,000 deposit or whatever. They're more than likely going to have that. Or they'll be able to secure a loan. They're going to get that loan more than likely. Whereas if somebody black or brown, we may not. It's like a crapshoot. You see what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. That's why it might be a lot of, that might be one of the reasons why black and brown people don't like, aren't high like homeowners. You know what I'm saying? Like high percentage. The down payment might be the thing that's kind of fucking us up. You know what I mean? Because then, too, you may not, even if you're like, okay, well, I don't have $10,000 to put down for a deposit or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, I could go take out a loan. Even if you think you would get the loan, you may not want to do that. You might be like, well, fuck that. I don't, because I got, you know. I don't want to put myself into more debt, kind of. You know what I mean? So then you're just stuck, like, kind of renting. I'm sure that happens in some cases where people are like, they want to buy a house, but they're like, I can't afford the down payment. Versus, you know, when you're renting an apartment or whatever, like, you just not just, but you only got to pay the whatever the first month's rent and then the security deposit. So let's say you're, you know, moving into an apartment that costs you $1,500 a month. So boom, you're gonna have to pay that and then the security. So that's $3,000. So even though that's kind of a lot too, you're like it's a hell more doable than you coming up with a $10,000 down payment when you're trying to get a home. You know what I mean? Like that. So maybe I think that might be a barrier sometimes, as to where black and brown people might just be like, well, fuck getting the house right now, because I just can't afford the down payment that they want. Or, you know, you don't have that, or you're like, I'm not willing to take out a loan to get it. I'd rather just, you know, pay security and first month's rent on an apartment. Because you're saving $7,000, right? You know what I mean? A lot of it is just, we just don't have the income. You know what I mean? So, just think about all that. Just think about all that. And between that and then just us getting turned down for the loans and stuff like that, because you may not make enough. Sometimes you may need a co-signer on all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, so it's a lot that goes into that. So we can't just be telling people they're lazy and they don't want to do shit. And why do you only want to go so far? Well, maybe because no one else will give me any. Well, let me go any further up in this bitch. Because I was like I was telling Michelle, A lot of times, if you are somebody black or brown and you are in a higher position at your job, most of the time, you're still going to have to be checking in with at least one person. Asking them, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You're only gonna have so much power and control. And them numbers are staggering. Yeah. So what's the overall reality? So across all nine areas, like Michelle and I were saying, white Americans dominate ownership, equity, and control. Black Americans are heavily present as workers, severely underrepresented as owners, and especially absent in capital-intensive sectors. And this is not accidental. It's the result of slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, mass incarceration, exclusion from capital, land, and policy power. Shit's crazy, y'all. All right, y'all, let's get back to this episode. Oh, and I want to know what's going on with that Bass Brew Bay House or whatever here, that restaurant here in Muskego, Wisconsin, that burnt down. It was a fire. Like, people keep, like, donating to people, and, like, they keep getting donations, but, like, I want to know if that fire was intentionally set. It's crazy how people keep donating to that Bass Brew, but there's no explanation as to what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'd want to know before I started just sending my money and shit. Because what if it comes out that it was arson and that they intentionally set it on fire? And you done sent the family like $500.
Right.
Wouldn't you want your money back? But like, they set this shit on fire intentionally, and I done sent them $500. I need my money back. Yeah, that's kind of crazy how that happens.
Now, if it was an employee that said it, that's different. That's not the the owner's.
Right, that's
fault.
Different. But yeah. I'm saying, but like,
if the owners did it, yeah.
But I just don't like how some people act like, how dare you even like bring that up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, shout out the Mile Higher podcast. Is that the one we were watching
yeah.
last night with Kendall Ray?
Kendall Ray.
And damn, my bad, we forgot the husband's name. But they're a couple too, and they have a podcast. It's called Mile Higher Podcast, and I believe she has her own one too.
She does.
Yep.
She does one like on her own.
Mm-hmm. And they did a story last night on the family. It was on Netflix. It was the Perfect Neighbor with a white lady. It should have been called
the worst neighbor,
right? But it was the one where that white lady had moved into she had rented a house out in the neighborhood, and she didn't like the black kids playing and stuff all in the yard and stuff like that, and she ended up killing the mother and stuff like that. So this white racist lady, she went to prison and stuff like that.
She got 25 years.
She got 25 piece. But they did a podcast on it, and I was surprised. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, y'all, let's just be honest, a lot of times when people do these crime stories, you know, the crime podcast, they talk about the killing or whatever, but they don't talk about, like, the other elephants in the room sometimes. Like, sometimes it'll be racially motivated, the killings and stuff like that, and this clearly was.
Yeah,
so I appreciated that they talked about that. They didn't shy away from it, and they were talking about how it was clearly racial. And that Kendall Ray, she, if you happen to be listening, we appreciate you, because she was going in on that white lady. She was calling that old lady a piece of shit. I was like, okay, I can feel, you can tell she was really upset about that.
Yeah.
And they were calling, they were like, this is pure racism. This is They were saying too, like, if that had been somebody black, this would have happened.
She versus, been arrested
yeah, there
right
was
away.
Exactly, and all. Yep. So it was refreshing to hear them notice that stuff and be critical thinkers, right? Not be scared to call it out. I love that shit.
Yeah,
that's why when
like
I say
she seems like a really good person.
Yeah, they do. I really appreciated that. You know what I mean? So shout out to Mile Higher Podcast. Go check them out. I think they're out of Colorado.
I
believe, yeah. But she, I liked it that a lot. So shout them out. But they did an episode on it. But I was saying, like, a lot of times these podcasters, they'll just do the crime. And clearly some of them have some racial stuff involved with it. And they won't talk about that part of it.
Or they'll just mention it, but that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was just like, come on now, don't be scared. Like, elephant in the room, talk about it. You're worrying about losing followers or something if you say that some white person did some racial bullshit.
Right.
People would be worried about losing subscribers and followers and shit. Like, so I really liked it that they talked about that and called it for what it was and stuff like that. That was a great episode they did.
Yeah, because we did watch the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just interesting to see, like, other people's opinion
mm-hmm.
on it and that it was the same as ours.
Exactly. It was very refreshing to see that. Yeah, and there are a couple, too. So y'all go check them out. Yes, the Mile Higher Podcast. So they're on the YouTubes and then, you know, they're on Spotify and all that stuff, too. They're video and audio. So they're on everywhere. But there are a couple that does one. Who are other couples that Murder With My Husband? There are a couple.
Yeah.
Can't think of any other ones right now. But shout out Nomadic Introvert. Shout out Roman Reckless. Maria, you need to be better with these videos.
We're still waiting.
We're still waiting. You're tripping with that. We love you, but, like, come on. Get it together. Get it together.
Becca Y.
Becca Y. Shout out Becca Y. Handy Becca Y. That girl's handy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out LJ and Ori.
Yep.
I love LJ's realness. Y'all go check out LJ and Ori on the YouTube. Her dog, it's her, and then her dog is Ori. He's a Japanese Akita. If we ever get a big dog again, I'd be down to get a Japanese Akita. I love Akitas. Love them. Who else? Oh, we said Nomadic Introvert. Shout her out. Oh, shout out. My name is Teo. Is that it? Yeah, he does a good job, too. He's a black content creator, YouTuber. He travels. He does van life, lives in his van. He has a black cat. I think the cat's name is Lars.
Yes.
Yeah, cat's name is Lars. Yeah. He travels with his black cat. And he walks the cat.
Yeah, he walks the cat and he has, like, that backpack for the cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had, like, a backpack for the cat. It was pretty cool. He was, like, he said he had went to, like, West Virginia for the first time. He said, like, that was the only state that he hadn't been to. So he went to West Virginia and shit, and he was, like, walking along the trails and all that kind of stuff. And he had his cat, like, in this backpack thing. It was pretty cool. And then he was actually walking the cat, too. That was pretty interesting. Yeah, but anyways, y'all. But, yeah, that information we read, yeah. About the 9 major areas of activity. That's, you know what I mean? That's how that shit goes. Just looking at some more stuff here, y'all. Okay, that's it, y'all.
Looking at me like I'm finna flee. 10 bands of chat, it ain't nothing less than that. Soon as it clear, yeah, I'll be there and we can discuss what's on the back. It's funny they went missing when I was struggling on my back. I know they hoping I would lack, but I ain't going out like that. Cuzzle scooping in the back, a couple orders in the back, behind the back, in that track, huh? Muhammad Ali before Frazier, I give him that talk. I've been a role model, now me and Lyric on catwalks. Break fly, get them slapped off. Them pages in the passport get stamped like a brick now. Came from house parties, lights cut on, we getting kicked out. Bumped the wrong nigga, turned the situation Chris Childs. This ain't state property, you get laid before you get down. Jumping in that water, I hope these boys know how to swim now. Knew this shit was rigged, first time I seen the biggest fish drown. Barking with no action, I laid the baddest of the piss down. This motion got them pissed, feel like I'm standing with my dick out. Shout out my hood, cause they still love me and it's reciprocated. Shout out my lawyer, I'm just glad we got that situated. And shout out me, yeah. Shout out myself, nigga, word. Fuck they thug.
From the other side,
like, shout out me,
word.
Shout out myself,
big shout out me.
Shout out to Janet, shout out to David, shout out to Bully, shout out to Aiden. That's who birthed me, that's who helped me, that's who funded all that hazing. Shout out to Metro, shout out to Wilson, shout out East River, shout out Frank, shout out to Nine, shout out Taino, shout out Wagner, that's the pavement. Shout out AK, shout out Carver, rest in peace, Troy the Barber. Shout out Lex, 1990, rest in peace, Dwayne O'Farber. Shout out to Jeff, shout out to Tab, shout out to Sean Bird. You never seen a town bird, you never been around birds. Shouts go out to Lincoln.